Chapter 3. Planning Considerations for Maintenance Operations. Army strategic operations require continuous, simultaneous combinations of offense, defense, and stability or defense support of civil authority tasks. Planning for maintenance support for these operations requires thorough mission analysis, careful identification of the force supported, and an understanding of the commander's intent. This chapter discusses planning considerations for successful maintenance operations. Operational art and maintenance operations. Commanders use operational art to develop a vision of how to establish conditions that accomplish their assigned missions and objectives. Commanders and staffs use operational art to develop strategies and operations to organize and employ tactical forces. While accepting and accounting for risk, commanders and staffs use their collective skill, knowledge, experience, creativity, and judgment to integrate ends, ways, and means. Sustainment assets are prime targets for near-peer threats during large-scale combat operations. Maintenance units should expect to displace frequently. Static or fortified maintenance facilities will be vulnerable to prolonged surveillance by drone and artillery attacks. Survivability of maintenance units will require careful planning. Because sustainment is often vulnerable to enemy attacks, sustainment survivability depends on active and passive measures and maneuver forces for protection. See FM40 for more on sustainment operational art. Maintenance planners in an operational headquarters generally do not drive the planning process, but need to be fully integrated throughout. Army design methodology helps commanders and staffs with the conceptual aspects of planning. These aspects include understanding, visualizing, and describing operations. MDMP helps commanders and staffs translate the commander's vision into an operations plan or operations order that synchronizes the actions of the force in time, space, and purpose to accomplish missions. Maintenance planners use the commander's intent, planning guidance, army design methodology, and MDMP to develop the maintenance concept of support. They derive the concept of support from running estimates that are developed using a variety of planning tools. These running estimates project casualty figures, maintenance requirements, software patches, and other sustainment requirements. See ADP 50 for additional information. Maintenance planners participate in all aspects of MDMP to ensure synchronization and unity of effort. Effective maintenance plans have three elements. Identify maintenance requirements for supported equipment. Identify available maintenance capabilities and capacities to sustain mission success. Balance maintenance capability and capacity against priorities of support. As soon as the higher headquarters identifies a mission, the staff should initiate mission-specific maintenance planning. The S3G3 initiates planning and identifies tasks and priority of support. The S3 section within the BCT has the added benefit of a dedicated logistician who is present to provide sustainment subject matter expertise. The maneuver commander establishes maintenance priorities based on the systems and units that are critical to the success of the operation. Staff planners calculate the minimum number of weapon systems required to complete the mission. Staff logistics officers, operations officers, and maintenance planners work together to assess the requirements for employment of maintenance capability and capacity and make recommendations to the commander. Maintenance planners assess the requirement to conduct BDAR procedures on damaged equipment when standard maintenance repairs are not practical and make recommendations to the commander for approval. They also assess the requirement for controlled exchange or cannibalization to meet repair parts requirements and make those recommendations to the commander for approval. Cannibalization is the authorized removal of components from materiel designated for disposal. Cannibalization supplements supply operations by providing assets not immediately available through the Army supply system. Costs to cannibalize, urgency of need, and degradation to resale value of the end item should be considered in the determination to cannibalize, AR-750-1. Cannibalization should only be used during combat to quickly repair equipment to fully mission capable. It is intended for equipment requiring non-procured Class 9 parts and is zero balance in the Army supply system. Controlled exchange is the removal of serviceable parts, components, and assemblies from unserviceable but economically repairable equipment and their immediate reuse in restoring a like item of equipment to a combat mission-capable condition, AR-750-1. Commanders must clearly communicate the authority to use BDAR, controlled exchange, and cannibalization in the operation order. The commander may limit these actions to a specific operation or phase of an operation. The SPO staff can also task or attach maintenance assets to supported units and help expedite parts delivery by ground or air to speed repairs and equipment return to a supported unit. Maintenance planners assess the requirement to fabricate materials to enable rapid replacement of critical repair parts or enhance BDAR. Commanders at core and below can use fabrication to meet those requirements. Fabrication on the battlefield is a critical capability that uses many different technologies, including additive and subtractive processes. Additive and subtractive manufacturing are intended to enhance the supply system, not to replace the procurement of Class 9 repair parts and the ordering process. Emerging additive manufacturing technologies can drastically reduce the amount of time it takes to obtain or make parts. Subtractive manufacturing using computer numerical controlled mills and lathes enhances soldiers' ability to fabricate and replicate items in an expeditionary environment. Commanders position maintenance personnel and teams as far forward as possible to support maneuver units. They require the necessary transportation, communication assets, tools, security, and repair parts to ensure rapid repair and return of non-mission capable equipment to the mission. Reliable sustainment information system connectivity is required for these teams to replenish supplies and share maintenance information rapidly. Staffs should consider aerial delivery of critical repair parts to speed repairs when feasible. The Army currently uses the Very Small Aperture Terminal, known as VSAT, and the Combat Service Support Automated Information Systems Interface, known as CASI, to facilitate maintenance reporting and supply operations using GCSS Army. During operations in denied environments or limited connectivity, the Army may be required to operate without the benefit of electronic reporting. Commanders and staffs at all levels need to develop and practice disconnected operations for use when automated systems are not available. Maintenance work continues during periods of degraded communications. Maintenance planners need to have contingency plans in place to push the most frequently used bench and shop stock. Commanders must establish a timeline for transitioning from normal operations to a push operation. The timeline should be identified within the operations order. Commanders should also consider giving maintainers permission to use cannibalization or controlled exchange to maintain combat strength. Additional information about cannibalization and controlled exchange is provided later in this chapter. Requests for Class 9 must be expedited. EAB maintenance support is planned and executed through a combination of modular support units, sustainment brigades, CSSBs, and SMCs, divisional units, DSB, DSSB, and SMCs, and USAMC forward repair activities. The exact number of units allocated to the maintenance effort is dependent upon the size and scope of overall TSC, ESC, or division-centered logistics operations. Maintenance in support of maneuver brigade operations requires continuous crosstalk between the BCT commander and staff, the BSB commander and SPO section, and FSC commanders. Planning for maintenance should be fully integrated into the operations process to ensure maximum responsiveness. Crosstalk continues throughout an operation as it changes and evolves. Battlefield maintenance planning considerations. The FSC provides field-level maintenance and supply to its supported battalion or task force. The maintenance platoon can function consolidated or split-based, depending on mission variables. The FMT from the FSC provides dedicated field-level maintenance and recovery capability to the supported companies. The BSB commander arrays these forces on the battlefield to best support the BCT. The BSB establishes a base or base cluster from which to operate within the BSA. The BSB commander simultaneously supports BCT operations while ensuring BSA security. The BSB commander must balance constant support operations and security requirements while establishing and operating the BSA. The BSB commander normally tasks the HHC to manage perimeter defense. Organization and identification of units that will occupy the BSA is determined through mission analysis. The BSB's FMC is normally located within the BSA and provides field-level maintenance for the BSB's organic equipment and brigade equipment not supported by an FSC. Placement of FSC maintenance capability in the BSA must be carefully considered and weighed against operational requirements. A primary consideration is the distance between the BSA and the supported units. It may seem advantageous to place FSC maintenance capability in the BSA to move the maintenance burden out of the supported battalion operations area, but doing so creates evacuation problems and increases the time it takes to return repaired equipment to the owning unit. Trains. Maneuver battalions and squadrons employ echeloned trains at their level and typically organize them into field trains, combat trains, and company trains. Trains are a grouping of personnel, vehicles, and equipment that provide sustainment to the battalion and subordinate companies of the BCT arrayed across the AO. They array subordinate sustainment elements, including unit personnel, vehicles, supplies, and elements of their supporting FSC. The battalion or squadron commander and staff, the BSB commander and staff, and the FSC commander collaborate to determine the best method of employment to meet the BCT's concept of support and the brigade commander's guidance. The commanders and staffs also determine the best allocation of personnel between the trains and command posts within the trains. A command presence is required at each level, as determined by the supported unit and the supporting FSC. Field trains. Field trains are positioned based on mission variables and are often located in the BSA. The maneuver battalion's HHC, battery or troop, commander, or designated representative, controls the field trains. Field trains typically include battalion or squadron sustainment assets not located with the combat trains. When established, the field train's command post serves as the battalion or squadron commander's primary direct coordination element with the supporting BSB in the BSA. Combat trains. Combat trains typically consist of elements of the maneuver battalion or squadron's HHC, battalion aid station, MCP, and elements of the FSC. The preponderance of FSC maintenance and recovery capabilities are normally located in the combat trains. The combat train's location is a compromise between proximity to the supported unit and security. The FSC may position its commander, first sergeant, field feeding section, portions of the distribution platoon, maintenance control officer, recovery assets, and portions of the maintenance platoon in the combat trains. These FSC elements are often co-located with the MCP. The MCP is the furthest back that maintenance activities should take place. The further to the rear that equipment is evacuated, the more time it adds to its repair and return to service. Company, battery, and troop trains. FSCs with FMT capability may locate an FMT in the company trains. This will often consist of a contact truck with two maintainers. Their role is to make repairs within the time limits established by the unit SOP and assist the company with fault verification. The maintainers will determine if the fault requires parts or services requiring the equipment's evacuation to the MCP. Depending on mission variables, a recovery vehicle with a 2 or 3 person crew may be present to assist with moving vehicles to the MCP. During offensive operations, recovery vehicles may be echeloned forward to speed recovery operations. Lateral support. The BCT has all the necessary field maintenance capabilities required to support every equipment item it employs. These maintenance capabilities reside within the field maintenance platoons of the FSC and the FMC. The FMC has expanded capabilities for all common specialty sections, automotive, armament, C&E, ground support equipment, radar repair, target acquisition system, missile repair, and service and recovery. A missile support team is present in an FMC when the supported units have missile equipment. These additional capabilities support low-density and specialized equipment maintenance within the BCT. The consolidation and management of common specialty capabilities in a central location enables the leveraging of low-density resources. Lateral support requests at the BCT level enable field maintenance organizations to access each other's capabilities. In peacetime, a best practice is to consolidate FSC low-density MOS soldiers within the FMC for efficiency, ease of training, and mentoring by the senior NCOs and warrant officers. Repair and recovery planning. The key unit personnel responsible for developing unit repair and recovery plans are the Battalion S4, the Unit Maintenance Warrant Officer, or Maintenance NCOIC, and the FSC Commander. they develop a plan of action for repair and recovery of disabled equipment based on the request for assistance. The action plan includes battle damage assessment and establishing priorities for support, tactical situation, workload, and availability of maintenance and recovery personnel. The Maintenance Warrant Officer, or Maintenance NCOIC, assigns repair or recovery missions to the Field Maintenance Platoon. At a minimum, the checklist will contain the following information: breakdown location or grid coordinates, cause of the breakdown, specific designation of required support, such as personnel by rank and MOS, and equipment by type and quantity, and supply requirements, Class 1, 3, 5, and 9. Many factors may influence the recovery team's ability to recover equipment, including the tactical situation, recovery vehicle requirements, workload, available resources at the field maintenance point, the extent of repairs required. Recovery personnel require special training on the following when recovering abandoned or unmanned equipment: identification of the visual and physical indicators of chemical, biological, and radiological contaminations, identification of visual indicators, scanning for and reacting to possible explosive ordnance, proper wearing of mission-oriented protective posture gear when chemical, biological, or radiological contamination is suspected, clearing or disarming weapon systems to prevent accidental discharge. Before initiating the action to recover equipment showing signs of contamination, commanders should coordinate with the higher headquarters to determine if the benefits of decontamination exceed the risks. If decontamination of the equipment is not the preferred course of action, the equipment may be marked to warn friendly forces of the hazard until weathering reduces it to acceptable levels. However, destruction may be required if the equipment could be captured by enemy forces. Once the recovery team makes the equipment safe, it proceeds with the recovery operation. The team inspects the equipment to assess the damage and determine repair or recovery requirements. The recovery team submits a situation report to the Maintenance Warrant Officer or Maintenance NCOIC, who either directs repair and recovery of equipment or sends additional parts or personnel. The recovery team proceeds with repair or recovery as directed. Night and limited visibility. Sometimes the tactical situation prevents access to disabled equipment. When that occurs, the Maintenance Warrant Officer or the Maintenance NCOIC receives guidance from the FSC commander, who must carefully weigh the potential benefits of recovery against the possible loss of personnel. This is particularly true during night operations, when the need for noise and light discipline further complicates the recovery process. Recovery operations at night or during limited visibility are generally the same as during daylight. Recovery elements may require night vision devices and additional personnel assistance for ground guides. In some cases, the mission may require the tactical commander to compromise light and noise discipline. When tactical elements are conducting night or limited visibility operations, maintenance units should anticipate a potential increase in workload. Foreign materiel. Responsibilities for recovery and retrograde of foreign equipment and materiel are similar to those for United States materiel. Capturing units must report the discovery of foreign materiel through intelligence channels. Items for which there are no disposition instructions should not be retrograded until it is coordinated with technical intelligence elements. Higher commands may direct the capturing unit to retrograde the item to a maintenance activity or the supporting technical intelligence unit. They may also instruct the unit to guard the item and leave it in place for on-site preliminary examination by technical intelligence personnel. When materiel does not need to remain in place for intelligence evaluation and the discovering unit cannot retrograde it, the unit may request recovery and retrograde assistance from the Sustainment Brigade, CSSB, or BSB. Explosive items. The presence of ammunition and explosives often complicates recovery. Personnel should remain constantly alert and should presume abandoned items are rigged with explosive booby traps. Exercise caution to prevent explosion, fire, or accidental weapon discharge. When unexploded ammunition is found or suspected, request assistance from an explosive ordnance disposal team. If quantities of abandoned ammunition are found during recovery operations, leave the ammunition in place and notify the nearest explosive ordnance disposal unit immediately. Note, do not, under any circumstances, attempt to touch or move abandoned ammunition. Battle damage assessment and repair. Maintainers use BDAR to return disabled equipment rapidly to combat or enable equipment to self-recover. The objective of BDAR is to sustain the vehicle/equipment until permanent repairs can be performed. BDAR restores the minimum essential combat capabilities necessary to support a specific combat mission or to enable the equipment to self-recover. BDAR includes bypassing components or safety devices, relocating parts from like or lower priority systems on the equipment, fabricating repair parts, or implementing a temporary repair using substitute fluids, materials, or components. Based on the commander's discretion, anyone with the requisite knowledge can perform BDAR depending on the extent of repairs required and mission variables. The commander or senior soldier present decides whether to use BDAR instead of standard maintenance procedures. Expedient repairs may or may not return the vehicle to a fully mission-capable status. BDAR fixes will be replaced with standard repairs at the first opportunity. Qualified maintenance personnel will evaluate repairs to ensure the equipment is either fully mission-capable according to -10 and -20 maintenance standards or can continue to be operated with the BDAR fix in place while awaiting parts. Peacetime BDAR repairs are temporary and will be replaced with standard maintenance repairs at the first opportunity. Battle damage assessment appraises system status. This effort identifies the number of items destroyed or damaged beyond repair and the number that can be repaired in the forward area. It also shows the location of forward maintenance salvage collecting points and the transportation required to support recovery or retrograde. Mechanics concentrate on mission essential maintenance only and the priorities established by the commander. For more information on BDAR procedures, refer to ATP 4-31 and GTA 01-14-001. Note, commanders should always consider standard maintenance over BDAR whenever possible. Commanders should address the use of BDAR in the logistics section of the operation order. This will provide the crews and maintainers with a clear understanding of when and at what risk level they are authorized to perform BDAR. Maintenance assets are heavily strained on the battlefield. Maintenance resources, personnel, tools, and parts are limited, and it is imperative that they not be wasted. Crew members need to do repairs within their capabilities immediately, rather than requesting maintenance personnel to do simple mechanical tasks. Note, personnel shortages and battlefield casualties mandate that maintenance team members have some knowledge of other skills needed to achieve critical repairs. A lack of key maintainers must not deter a team from doing BDAR. Conduct on-the-job training and cross-train personnel whenever possible. On the battlefield, the objective is to return the system into battle with enough combat capability to accomplish the mission. Cosmetic repairs are not necessary and are a waste of time and resources. Maintainers should not repair a broken item unless it affects the ability to shoot, move, or communicate, or poses a serious safety concern. Return equipment with issues that fall outside of these criteria to maintenance for standard repair procedures. Priorities of repair, personnel and parts availability, and a host of unforeseen circumstances demand a flexible approach to BDAR. If specific repair techniques are not in the manuals, ingenuity can be the key to successful BDAR. Additive manufacturing technology can enable innovation. Planning considerations in the offense. Offensive operations include movements to contact, attacks, exploitations, and pursuits. Operators, crews, and maintenance personnel maximize momentum by fixing inoperable equipment at the point of malfunction or damage. They enhance momentum by keeping the maximum number of weapon systems operational. Therefore, maintenance and recovery personnel perform their mission as far forward as possible. Planners ensure that maintenance operations support momentum and massing at critical points. Planning considerations for maintenance support in offensive operations include rapid repair and return of non-mission capable equipment and establishment of command maintenance priorities. Offensive operations place a heavy requirement on BCT transportation assets, increase equipment maintenance requirements, and affect sustainment information systems connectivity. Because of the fast pace of offensive operations and communication limitations, maintenance planning requires extensive effort to make it work effectively. Planners should anticipate increased vehicular maintenance, especially in operations taking place in rough terrain. Establish criteria for requesting additional recovery assets. consider the feasibility of splitting recovery assets to provide broader coverage for attacking companies. Identify critical combat spares and pre-position them with the frontline FMTs, or have them ready to move forward on short notice. Ensure rapid repair and return of non-mission-capable equipment to support the operation. Anticipate the use of captured enemy supplies, support vehicles, and petroleum, oil, and lubricants. Test them for contamination before use. Ensure that maintenance preparations, such as excess stockpiles of vehicles and supplies, do not compromise the tactical plan. Anticipate increased consumption of Class 3B and Class 9 due to substantial maneuver. The maneuver battalion establishes the location of the MCP during MDMP. The Battalion S3, Battalion S4, FSC commander, and maintenance control officer provide input and select the location. The S3 communicates the MCP location to the BCT S4 and SPO staff. The MCP should be located as far forward as possible during offensive operations. Movement to contact. Maintenance personnel place maximum effort on preparing equipment for combat during the preparation phase of movement to contact. During execution, maintenance assets move closely behind the combat unit's main body to ensure rapid recovery, repair, and return of damaged and disabled equipment. Commanders position maintenance assets in the march column to best support the combat units while being protected from enemy fire. Attack. The attack is quick and violent. The FSC commander monitors the tactical situation to support the attack. The FSC commander, in concert with the maneuver battalion's S3, S4, and executive officer, identifies and provides the current and future locations for MCPs. The maneuver company first sergeant and executive officer array the FMTs. The maintenance teams are positioned forward with the maneuver companies during the attack. On-site maintenance support and recovery operations are inherently risky due to the rapid advances of the combat forces. Maintenance activities during this phase concentrate on recovery and BDAR. After the attack, the FSC commander coordinates maintenance requirements with the Maneuver Battalion Executive Officer and S4, discussing the current situation, priority of effort, and transition plan for the next operation. Exploitation and pursuit. The Maneuver Brigade covers a large area during the exploitation and pursuit phase. Combat units strike at objectives deep in the enemy's AO while keeping pressure on retreating enemy forces. Command and control and communication are extremely difficult. Commanders must keep in mind the considerations noted under time limits discussed in Chapter 4. FMTs or contact teams perform on-site repairs to bring weapon systems online to maximize combat power during this key phase of offensive operations. Equipment that cannot be repaired on-site will be recovered to the MCP. Evacuating equipment to the BSB should be the last resort for the maintenance control officer and maintenance warrant officer. The maintenance tactical SOP should address time limits for not mission-capable equipment evacuation from the MCP to the BSB. Planning considerations in the defense. Defensive operations include area defense, mobile defense, and retrograde. Operators, crews, and maintenance personnel are located in the rear of the formation, fixing inoperable equipment that has been evacuated to the MCP. Maintenance considerations for defensive operations include planning to reorganize to replace lost maintenance capability, using maintenance teams well forward at MCPs, planning to displace often, emphasizing recovery and retrograde of equipment that requires extended repair time, if the commander has positioned maintenance personnel to repair them in the BSA. MCPs in defensive operations are normally located further back from the front than during offensive operations. Dispersal within the MCP during defensive operations is even more important than in offensive operations, as the location is typically in operation a longer time and is easier to locate. The same considerations apply for co-locating or not co-locating with the combat train's command post. Co-location typically decreases the size of the perimeter and allows more maintainers to concentrate on repair operations. The FSC Field Maintenance Platoon takes all required steps to place as many weapon systems as possible in serviceable condition. Operators, crews, and FMTs perform any necessary repairs authorized at their level of repair. Once combat operations begin, the principles are the same as for the offense. See ATP3-90.5 for additional information on defensive operations. The MCP is often located with the Maneuver Battalion Combat Train's command post in order to support defensive operations. Dispersal is important within the combat trains as it provides greater protection from hostile artillery and aviation. The MCP can gain greater disbursement by not co-locating with the combat train's command post. However, this requires more personnel for defensive operations. The BSB commander must consider the effect on repair rates when using maintenance personnel for perimeter defense. Crews accompanying not mission-capable platforms to the MCP should be integrated into BSA security operations. Contingency operations. Maintenance is still important during contingency operations. Maintenance priorities may change based on operational or mission variables. Stability. Interagency coordination is the key to success with stability tasks. The United States military provides relief directly to those in need only in the most extreme situations. In most stability operations, the United States military assists non-governmental organizations in providing the required level of support to the affected population. Multinational support, host nation support, and support from non-governmental organizations may increase the demands on transportation, medical, food, water, and housing. Situations that lack optimal sustaining capabilities may require using other methods that augment or replace existing logistics capability. Contracting personnel should support or travel with the lead elements of Army forces if feasible. The Army may employ non-standard logistics for supply, maintenance, forklift support, fixed facilities, and mobile communications. Maintenance operations may include assisting intergovernmental agencies. While stability operations are not considered combat operations, a defensive posture should be maintained. See FM3-07 for additional information on maintenance considerations in stability operations. Peacekeeping. When planning maintenance support during peacekeeping operations, logisticians must take into consideration national forces, risk assessment, security of maintenance operations, and environmental impact. Maintenance planners need to account for maintaining any United States equipment provided to coalition or partner nations. The Army most often conducts peacekeeping operations as part of a multinational coalition. This presents new challenges for all commanders who could potentially support host nation military, coalition forces, and commercial equipment. Beyond some of the special considerations noted here, much of the maintenance support for peacekeeping will not differ substantially from normal maintenance operations. Hostile environment. National policy may require the Army, either singularly or as part of a joint or multinational task force, to conduct peacekeeping operations in politically sensitive areas of the world. At such times, regional combatants may disregard the peace initiative and continue sporadic or repeated armed struggle. Commanders need to anticipate this and be prepared to provide maintenance support in hostile, potentially life-threatening situations. Lack of host nation support. Since friendly forces often operate in hazardous and politically sensitive areas, commanders should never assume availability of dedicated host nation support during peacekeeping operations. Instead, they need to plan for maintenance support using organic resources. Foreign humanitarian assistance. As in peacekeeping operations, maintenance doctrine does not change during humanitarian operations. However, humanitarian operations do introduce unique challenges. Depending on the regional political situation, the Army may conduct humanitarian missions in either friendly or hostile environments. See ATP3-57.20 for additional information supporting humanitarian operations. Because the Army conducts humanitarian missions in friendly and potentially hostile environments, logistics planners should consider the situation and locate maintenance operations away from dense population centers. Planners should also identify maintenance sites that units can easily secure and defend. Establish and secure lines of communication. Coordinate with engineer support. And close maintenance operations areas. Establish entrance and exit control points. Maintain responsive 24-hour perimeter security. Consider the impact on the environment. Multinational support considerations. Multinational operations may complicate sustainment support and possibly reduce the degree of flexibility inherent in host nation logistics systems. Although responsible for logistics support of their national forces, not all nations have sustainment support infrastructure. Such nations depend on other nations for all or part of their support. In these cases, the multinational force provides deployment and sustainment to military and civilian authorities. Commanders must determine how and from where they can expect timely resupply to perform their critical maintenance mission. Prompt coordination of mission and support requirements with higher headquarters ensures that logistics planners deliver timely maintenance support to customer units. See FM3-16 for additional information. When planning or conducting sustainment for multinational operations, commanders use allied or other appropriate doctrine according to the situation. Maintenance managers should anticipate support to all friendly forces. To accomplish that task, they should contact higher headquarters as well as known supported units to coordinate support requirements. Managers also need to verify if an acquisition and cross-servicing agreement exists. An acquisition and cross-servicing agreement is an agreement negotiated on a bilateral basis with countries or international organizations that allows United States Armed Forces to exchange most common types of support, including food, fuel, transportation, ammunition, and equipment. It sets forth the terms and conditions under which the reimbursable acquisition or transfer of logistics support, supplies, and services can occur between the United States Armed Forces and foreign governments or international organizations with which the United States has a concluded agreement, JP3-16. At times, support to multinational forces may present unique logistical challenges. In such cases, logistics planners must take the initiative to determine customer equipment type and density. Defense support of civil authorities considerations. Defense support of civil authorities includes tasks that address the consequences of natural or man-made disasters, accidents, terrorist attacks, and incidents in the United States and its territories. The Army conducts defense support of civil authorities tasks in support of homeland defense only after civil authorities have requested assistance and the Secretary of Defense has authorized them. This is typically only when the size and scope of events exceed the capabilities or capacities of domestic civilian agencies. Defense support of civil authorities actions are always subordinate to civilian authority control. For additional information, see ATP3-28.1. In disaster relief operations, maintenance and logistics planners need to identify commercial vendors who can quickly supply the technical and repair parts support required and organize assets from other agencies, contractors, and local maintenance resources for economy of effort. Planners should evaluate and prioritize repair of equipment for infrastructure, firefighting, law enforcement, medical, construction, and power generation, organic equipment, and equipment belonging to other military elements involved in the operation. Planning for sustainment level maintenance. Units use historical maintenance data combined with combat loss estimates to project sustainment level maintenance requirements. They access sustainment level maintenance chiefly through USAMC forward theater assets. CLSEs and DLSEs work with their corresponding staffs to integrate and synchronize USAMC sustainment level maintenance support into operations. See ATP4-98 for additional information on USAMC support capabilities. Maneuver Unit S4s also play a role in sustainment maintenance planning. When they receive the unit maintenance status indicating equipment requires sustainment maintenance, they will initiate requests for replacement equipment. They may also work through their chain of command to request forward deployed sustainment level maintenance capabilities.